And we're live on YouTube. Chris Graham here on Street Knowledge. Not able to get on Facebook today for some reason, and we won't really worry about that. Technical issues happen sometimes. We'll just be happy that we're on YouTube today and able to talk through our show. If you have any comments, feel free to please, or questions, anything of that nature, feel free to just join us right here. Let's see if I can not compete with myself.
I'm not able to get on Facebook today.
And I am competing with myself.
We won't really worry about that. Technical issues happen sometimes. We'll just be happy that we're on YouTube today.
I'll mute that now. As I'm learning how to navigate this way on YouTube, we're going to, so any comments, any questions, anything you want us to address on the show, please feel free to just jot right there in the comments section here on the YouTube stream. Live, of course, if you're watching the archive version, you can draw all the questions or comments out you want. I just won't be able to respond to them live, but love to hear what you have to say as we get through the show here. So, gosh, what are we going to get into today? Well, the news of the weekend. We all woke up Saturday morning with the news. I know for me, I'm normally an 8 o'clock riser. I'm not an early riser, to say the least, ever. An email dated or timed 8:14 a.m. With announcements from both UVA Virginia Tech that the game that had been scheduled for this coming Saturday night had been postponed. We're still awaiting a date for that game to be put back on the schedule. But at first, the notation was just that COVID issues. We subsequently learned a few hours later, the ACC made it very clear it was COVID issues at Virginia Tech, specific to the football program. And so that game that had been scheduled for a national TV audience on Saturday night, 7:30 kickoff in Blacksburg is now moved back. We'll assume it's going to be December 12th. That's the only possible date. The two programs don't have matching bye week dates coming up this season. In fact, Virginia will have exhausted both of their bye week dates. The Hoos had been scheduled to play VMI in their opener, which would have been this past week. Then the 26th would have been a bye week for Virginia. But Virginia filled that in with the news that Virginia Tech was not going to be on the schedule for this coming Saturday night. And Virginia now playing on September 26th with Duke. That game had been originally scheduled for November, and Duke agreed to move it up. And actually, good job by the ACC, and credit to the folks at Duke. Virginia had the news was about, I think I said 8:14 a.m. By about 11 a.m. Saturday morning, we already had news that Virginia had moved that Virginia, Duke, and ACC had moved that game up to September 26th, so that Virginia wouldn't be starting the season in October. Which would have been the other side of this if Virginia had not got that game with Duke. So then we saw some things out there, I guess you could say. The rivalry, if it could get even more intense between Virginia and Virginia Tech, certainly seems like it's going to be doing so when these two teams finally do meet later this season. There were some comments from Virginia Tech players. They wanted to play. And then some Virginia on social media, the Virginia players responding that, well, if you really wanted to play, you guys would have had your house in order from a COVID perspective. I'm going to interject now and say, and then there was a picture taken of a group of Virginia players and coaches all wearing masks with the Commonwealth Cup saying, don't worry, it's safe, in safe hands. Boy, I'm going to say, you know, I'm the Virginia guy. I'm a UVA alum. Covered Virginia sports for the last 25 years. I don't think that was a good look on Virginia, the Virginia program, to take shots at Virginia Tech over this this COVID cancellation, postponement, I guess. Cancellation means it's not going to be played. Postponement means it will be just at a later date. And for a few reasons. One, you know, just generally speaking, I've made this clear in some columns. It's probably been a while, but COVID is being treated by too many people, politicians, others, as being something that only happens to bad people. You only get COVID if you've done something wrong. You only get COVID if you've gone to some party or you went to Myrtle Beach. You always hear, oh, they went to the beach and then it came back with COVID. You know, COVID doesn't only exist at the beach. I've been to the beach. I spent a week at OBX a couple weeks ago. Great time. Felt normal for the first time in 6 months. Didn't come back with COVID. COVID doesn't happen if you go out and eat in a restaurant. I've eaten in restaurants for, gosh, dating back to May now. You know, you go in, you wear your mask, you go in, you pay your bill with your mask on, you're responsible, you do what you do. COVID doesn't happen just because you went to the store. COVID doesn't happen because you had friends over. COVID isn't something that is a scarlet letter on your chest. You know, it's COVID. It's a virus. It's like COVID is a coronavirus, just like the common cold is. It's not the flu virus. It's a virus that at some point in the next few weeks, few months, whenever, it's going to join the other 210 roughly viruses that are in circulation globally at any time that you can catch and get sick from. That's what it is. It's in the news now, and you know, it's we think we can stamp the virus out. At least some people think we can stamp the virus out. You can't. And also, it's not something that only happens to bad people. I'm not a religious person. Haven't been for several years now, but you know, back when I was, I just like I do with anything else, I read thoroughly. You know, you have to remember if you are a religious sort of spiritual sort of, you know, one of the three main monotheistic religions, there's something in your scriptures that tells you that it rains on the good and the bad, implying that good things happen to good people, good things happen to bad people, bad things happen to good people, bad things happen to bad people. It's good and bad just doesn't happen to bad or in good. It's something to factor in there. So whether or not you get a small percentage of a microbe of a virus that causes you to get sick, that doesn't mean you're a bad person. And this whole idea that was advanced on Saturday on social media that, you know, Virginia Tech is the football program somehow irresponsible for a few players testing positive for coronavirus, leading to the cancellation of a football game. It's just ridiculous. And plus, the other side of this is, people in glass houses and throwing stones thing. I mean, you know, now like I mentioned, Virginia now has given up. They've used their 2 weeks of bye. They have no more bye weeks. It's not because of their issue. VMI canceling its season and then this Virginia Tech game being canceled. What happens if one UVA player runs into somebody who ends up getting testing positive for COVID, which we now know doesn't necessarily mean that you even have COVID. You can test positive for COVID. And the New York Times had a story out a couple of weeks ago, read thoroughly, that maybe our tests are too sensitive, like way too sensitive, and up to 90%, according to New York Times, of the people who test positive for coronavirus may not, one, may be asymptomatic, as we already know, but two, may not be contagious. So in any case, you may test positive for something that you don't have, you can't get spread to anybody, but because of the protocols right now, you can't play, and maybe some people you've come in contact with can't play, and all of a sudden you've got a COVID issue. So you point fingers at somebody else, you make it point it back at yourself, I guess is my point. And I didn't think that was a good look on the part of the UVA folks. That said, again, credit to the ACC for quickly rectifying a situation that could have had Virginia opening with Clemson on October 3rd, which would have just been ridiculous that Clemson would have been on game four and Virginia would have been playing their first game. As it is, Virginia will open with Duke on the 26th. So not this weekend, but the following weekend. And Duke will be on its third game. The Blue Devils looked good on Saturday. Got to watch a lot of that Duke-Notre Dame opener on NBC. It was a one-score game into the fourth quarter. Notre Dame ended up pulling away a little bit, not a lot, but pulling away a little bit and winning 27-13 in that opener. Chase Bryce, I thought, looked fine. Starting quarterback for Duke, the Clemson grad transfer who's a junior in eligibility at Duke. So he's got 2 years under David Cutcliffe. I thought he looked, there were some obvious issues with continuity, but that's going to happen with a new quarterback who didn't get to go through spring and really only had camp to develop timing with his guys, with his receivers. But You know, Bryce is going to be a guy that I was high on him at Clemson. Got to see him a lot in the ACC championship game last year in mop-up duty because Clemson won so big over Virginia. And my first thought was, man, this kid's the backup. He was a top prep recruit. You might remember in 2018, he helped save Clemson's eventual championship season. Trevor Lawrence got hurt in early, I think maybe second quarter of a game with Syracuse. Syracuse led 23-13 in the fourth quarter. Bryce led Clemson on two scoring drives, including a drive that I think they scored in the final minute, like 40 seconds left. He extended the drive with a 4th-and-6 pass. He had a big run on that drive. So he's a guy that is battle-tested and will only get better with the coaching from David Cutcliffe. I assume so. Virginia opens with Duke. Virginia Tech will open on the 26th as well with NC State. The Hokies had been scheduled to play NC State on September 12th, which would have been this past weekend. COVID issues at NC State forced the postponement of that game until the 26th. So, and we know the times of those games. The Virginia Tech game with NC State will be an 8 o'clock kick. The Virginia game with Duke will be a 4 o'clock kick, and that will be a home opener for Virginia. Virginia had been again scheduled to play VMI in a home opener. Their ACC opener wouldn't have been until October. With this game being the one moved up, Virginia will now get a home game in September in the ACC with Duke. The small matter of whether or not I get to be there, I don't know if I really care that much, Virginia's athletics media folks sent out a note over the weekend indicating that I've read at least, and I know Rod Mullins, who does our NASCAR podcast with us, our NASCAR Street Knowledge with us on Wednesdays, will be covering the Bristol race coming up this Saturday night, playoff race down in Bristol, Tennessee, I guess technically since it's on the other side of the border, but the city that shares two states. He's already covered the NASCAR race. He covered the All-Star race in Bristol back in July, and the media were spread across the various luxury boxes so that a greater number of media could be accommodated without having to, you know, crunch everybody into a small press box. Looks like UVA is going to be probably, based on the email, the tone of the email, we'll just be having the media folks just in that press box area, not any necessarily in any adjoining boxes. And so we were warned that not everyone will be accommodated, and basically don't write and ask if you can get a pass, get a credential. We'll let you know if there's space for your organization. And I'm assuming Augusta Free Press is probably not very high on the totem pole. Yeah, I got co-wrote a couple books on UVA sports, but they weren't commissioned by the UVA folks. And I imagine I'm pretty low down on that totem pole. So I may be covering the game from home. Either way, the only thing I'll miss, I guess, not being there will be the scenery, the mood, the tone of being in a big, largely empty stadium, which, you know, I'd love to, you know, get a feel for that. But I don't, other than that, I mean, you'll still cover the game. We'll have live stats, access to live stats. We'll have access to the player and coach interviews via Zoom after the game. So, we'll do the best we can, and I'm sure we'll do just a fine job keeping up with things and covering things as we always do here on Augusta Free Press. But I wouldn't put a lot of money on Augusta Free Press being in the press box, at least early in the season, certainly for that Duke game. I mean, maybe as things open up, which I anticipate they will, later in the season, we may be able to get on site for some games. But in the meantime, yeah, UVA Duke coming up still almost 2 weeks away, week and a half away. Game week is next week. We're still awaiting word from the UVA media folks as to the availability of players and coaches via Zoom this week. And so we're sort of in flux. I mean, this was supposed to be a game week. So, you know, we would have been in sort of normal weekly media protocols as far as that goes. That would have meant a press conference with Coach Mendenhall today, probably a player or two coming up this week to talk specifically about a game opponent. And so we'll just kind of see how that goes. But today I wrote a story about Brennan Armstrong and him taking the QB1 job, and kind of an in-depth thing from a couple of Zooms, one with him, one with Jason Beck, the quarterback's coach, one with Robert Anae, the offensive coordinator, kind of giving some insight into how Brennan Armstrong kind of sees that QB1 position. That story's on the website today. We'll have one coming up later this week on sort of an overview of the outlook for the offense. Again, you kind of using those same interviews with Brennan and with Coach and I and with and then again, we'll see what else we can get into as far as that goes. And again, if you have any questions, comments on the live YouTube here, specific to UVA football, I guess Virginia Tech football, ACC football, feel free to throw them out there. We'll be glad to. I'll try to answer them best I can. Let's see. And also, I want to just note, we also keep up with the folks at Liberty. And Liberty will be open in the 2020 season at Western Kentucky this weekend, Saturday at noon. And actually, that game is going to be on ESPNU. I think I've, from what I read from the game notes, it'll be the third time Liberty's been on one of the broadcast versions of ESPN, the TV broadcast versions of ESPN. They do, of course, a lot on ESPN3. I do ESPN3 games for VMI. But this actually on your TV. And Western Kentucky opened this past weekend, a 35-21 loss to Louisville. And so they've already played a game. Liberty will be kicking off their season. And Liberty's got some replacing to do. That stellar offense from last year under you know last year's first-year coach, Hugh Freeze, Stephen Calvert threw for 3,663 yards last season. They had a 1,000-yard rusher, Frankie Hickson, ran for 1,041. And Antonio Gandy-Gold, who's now playing for the Washington football team, had 1,000 yards. He's actually 1,396 receiving yards last year, fourth round draft pick in the 2020 draft. And Liberty's one of three FBS programs to have to replace a 3,000-yard passer, 1,000-yard rusher, and 1,000-yard receiver. And that category includes LSU and Oklahoma. So LSU, Oklahoma, Liberty. 2019 Liberty football team went 8-5. They won the Cure Bowl over Georgia Southern. And that was the first year that Liberty was fully eligible for FBS Bowl. So pretty nice first season for Freeze and first full FBS privileges season for Liberty. And so, yeah, that's coming up this weekend as well. You know, we'll have later this week, we'll have the full ACC schedule with TV times and also the betting lines. And I'm not a bettor, but I like to put the lines out there, just kind of give you a sense of what Vegas thinks in terms of what's expected in the margin between the teams. And so we'll have that out later this week. I think maybe tomorrow, Wednesday, we'll have that out for folks. Let's see, what else can we jump into here real quick? Before we go into some more, you know, more specific UVA stuff. And again, questions, comments, please jump in. ACC football players of the week. Yeah. Let's review that before we start talking. Trevor Lawrence of Clemson was the quarterback of the week. No surprise there. 22 of 28, 351, a touchdown, two rushing touchdowns, 37-13 win for Clemson. That game wasn't that close. It was 37-0 third quarter. Clemson took the foot off the gas pedal, went over Wake Forest. Other highlights, Kyren Williams, Notre Dame running back of the week, 205 all-purpose yards, 112 rushing, 93 receiving. And kind of some other highlights, Braden Smith, Louisville, was the receiver of the week, four catches, 110 yards, and that win over Western Kentucky that I mentioned, Western Kentucky playing Liberty this weekend. Let's see, defensive back of the week. I'm just kind of picking out some of the highlights. Asante Samuel Jr., Florida State. Florida State loses to Georgia Tech. That was a big surprise. Florida State was a double-digit favorite in that opener. Asante Samuel, a pair of interceptions in the first half. Florida State led to nothing at halftime. I think the final score was, 16-13, but Georgia Tech with the win. Also, Florida State had the specialist of the week. Marvin Wilson blocked two kicks in that game. Yeah, the final score was 16-13. Jeff Sims was the rookie of the week, the Georgia Tech freshman quarterback. Won the battle in camp, James Graham last year, starting quarterback. Jeff Sims, 341 yards total offense, 277 passing, 64 rushing, one passing touchdown to lead that comeback win. 16-13 was the final. And he's the first true freshman quarterback to lead the Yellow Jackets to win the season opener. True freshmen have only been eligible to play since 1972. So he's the first true freshman quarterback to win a season opener at Tech. He had 24 pass completions, good job overall for Sims. So that's your ACC review for last week. And to get into the a couple of things we've been writing lately, the Brennan Armstrong column I mentioned wrote about Brennan was named the starting quarterback at UVA. That was a couple of weeks ago. Interesting battle in camp. And really the story here that we went into today, Brennan is a redshirt sophomore. He got to play a lot as a true freshman and didn't have to use the eligibility, played in parts, I think, four games. But with that rule the NCAA put in place a couple years back, you don't have to use your eligibility if you don't play over a certain number of plays in a season. And Armstrong, actually, before that true freshman season, he even enrolled early at UVA and participated in spring practice that year. So this, we're talking about a guy who's a redshirt sophomore who's already been through two full springs. He would have had his third full spring this spring if UVA had had a spring practice, didn't get a spring practice in because of the public health response, COVID-19. But a guy with a lot of experience for a guy who's only a sophomore eligibility. This would have been the spring of Brennan Armstrong at UVA. After 2 years as Bryce Perkins' understudy, this was to be the year that, hey, the transition is being made now. We've got a guy in the program. And really at UVA, under Bronco Mendenhall, going into his fifth season, Robert Anaya is offensive coordinator fifth season, Jason Beck quarterback coach fifth season. This would have been the first time you would have had a homegrown quarterback take the reins at UVA. You think back to Kurt Binkert was a grad transfer with 2 years of eligibility when he came from ECU. Kurt Binkert now in the NFL, he was not homegrown. They took him in and put him into place. And then when Binkert graduated and moved on to the NFL, Bryce Perkins came as a transfer and was able to take the job over and put up some record-setting numbers at UVA in two seasons. So for four seasons, though, the Bronco Mendenhall regime has relied on transfers to fill the need of quarterback. And so Brennan Armstrong was a recruit. He was groomed, he was in the quarterback room for 3 years or more than 2 years and going into a third year. And then in May, after, no spring practice because of the COVID response, in May, Virginia lands another transfer, Keaton Thompson, another grad transfer in this case with 2 years of eligibility. Keaton Thompson, a former four-star recruit out of high school, he was looked at as the heir apparent at Mississippi State. He was recruited by Dan Mullen. Dan Mullen then leaves to go to Florida. He's replaced that the person who replaced him, whose name escapes me, already replaced by Mike Leach. So three coaches in 3 years. Keaton Thompson surveys the situation and says, it's time for me to get out, and looks for a landing spot. A guy with his pedigree, a four-star guy. He was the MVP of the Tax Slayer Bowl, out Lamar Jackson to Lamar Jackson in that win, outplayed Lamar Jackson in a win for Mississippi State over Louisville in Lamar Jackson's last college game. Ran for three touchdowns, I think over 140 yards rushing, threw for 120-something in that win, a 31-27 win for Mississippi State in that one. So you got a guy with 2 years of eligibility left to, 6'4", 225, elite athleticism, looks and plays a lot like Bryce Perkins. Can be reminiscent if you want to think back to the Mendenhall and Nye Beck coaching group to their previous job at BYU, their previous location at BYU, a guy named Taysom Hill that you probably saw get some snaps all over the place from New Orleans as usual. He's the latest version of Slash in the NFL. Thompson comes in May, and all of a sudden you have to think, man, maybe Virginia wasn't that high. Maybe these guys weren't that high on Brennan Armstrong to bring this guy in. This guy's got some serious chops here, this Keaton Thompson. And so Armstrong said last week on a Zoom conference call with reporters, he said, I took that and said, hey, if this makes the team better, then I'm all for it. And he was ready for the challenge. And I have to say, good on him. Too many guys in this day and age, you think to, the USC's had an issue with this, Southern Cal's had an issue with it, I should say, in recent years, one guy who's in place and then another guy gets signed as a prep You know, this five star and this five star, and they say, you know, we're not going to compete. One of us going to leave. And Armstrong, you know, could have easily said, man, you know, I've been here for most of 3 years. I'm ready to take this over. Why are you bringing another player in with his skill set, with his pedigree? And, you know, maybe I'll go somewhere else. Give the job to that guy. No, Armstrong, to his credit, stood up and said, I'm going to take this on. I'm going to take the challenge on. And won the job. Coaches, you know, noting both Coach Beck and Coach and I are noting that a big factor was the fact that Armstrong does have that experience in the system, and Thompson needs to, you know, have more time with the playbook, more reps in the system. And Anai hinting strongly that Keaton Thompson will get some playing time in some capacity, whether it's in Wildcat plays, whether it's maybe in a Taysom Hall like Taysom Hill like role as a sort of slash guy. But you know, Anai's statement was, let's see if I can get the exact quote here. It would not be a good idea if one of our better athletes was standing next to me at the clipboard. So we're going to be looking for opportunities to get him on the field and get him involved. But that said, it's Armstrong's job. He'll be the guy when Duke comes to town on September 26th. And, you know, the offense will have to look a little different. You know, Virginia has two models now. Kurt Binker, drop back quarterback. He's got a big arm. He's in the NFL for that reason. And not as mobile, you know, but very much a pocket quarterback. He can get out of the perimeter, but he had a knee injury before he got to UVA and his mobility was limited. And Bryce Perkins is more the kind of quarterback model that Anai and Beck would like to base their program on, you know, a guy who can beat you with his arm, but also beat you with his feet, design runs, read options, the ability to extend plays with his feet and when he's in the pocket and maybe things break down. Not to say that Armstrong isn't that guy, but Armstrong is not as elite athletically, maybe is a charitable way to put it, as Perkins is. Armstrong's heart, he's tough nose. He's going to be more of a bit of a fullback type, you know, when he runs. He's going to be more of a power rusher than you know, Perkins was as a you know, guy who could just beat you to the corner kind of guy, and slam through holes and run through holes quickly kind of guy. So the offense will have to be different. I mean, the play calls might have to be a little different in that respect. But Anai and Beck both saying that, you know, there's going to be a lot of things that you've seen that you will see again with Armstrong back there. You're going to still see read option as a big part of this offense. You're going to see some design quarterback run, just again, maybe different ones, maybe more off tackle than around the perimeter. But Armstrong and both coaches praising Armstrong for his toughness, a guy that is a very vocal leader. Bryce more quiet back there as quarterback, more assertive by example. Armstrong very fiery, they say. It's almost, and Beck actually said this, is almost like, you know, they may need to tone him down a little bit because he can get a little juiced up, Brandon Armstrong can. So he's going to be a guy that this team will, you know, want to rally around, and again, it'll be interesting to see what the offense looks like with him, and also what role, again, Virginia can figure out, the coaches have to figure out for Keaton Thompson, you know, with that idea in mind that one of our better athletes shouldn't be sitting on the sidelines. But also, you know, you have to balance that out with he's going to be the established backup, and really there's not a lot of depth at quarterback, not a lot of depth. Ira Armstead is a true freshman. He's the third string guy. Lindell Stone has been in the program. He's a senior, Lindell Stone is, but doesn't seem to have the confidence of the coaching staff to be the guy to take over in a pinch. So lots of flux. We haven't seen him play yet. We won't see him for another week and a half. Trying to get a feel for this UVA offense and how it will look and kind of play out under Brandon Armstrong. Let's see, anything else? You know, we did jump into a similar situation in Virginia Tech. I wrote a piece on this late last week when we were still thinking the opener was Virginia Tech, Justin Fuente on his quarterbacks. Hendon Hooker looks like the starter, and that's probably, you know, something that Virginia Tech fans, kind of like Virginia fans, thought Brennan Armstrong was going to be the starter, and there was really no question about that. And then all of a sudden, a transfer enters into the mix. There's a transfer that's in the mix at Virginia Tech. Now, Braxton Burmeister has been around longer than Keaton Thompson. Burmeister actually transferred in before last season. He transferred from Oregon, not able to get a dispensation from the NCAA to be eligible immediately, or maybe he could have been in the mix to take the job over last season. But Burmeister is someone that Fuente says has earned the right to play. And Fuente seems to feel like there's a chance that Burmeister will get some snaps in their opener. He talked about that in relation to the September 19th schedule opener with Virginia. So wouldn't be surprised to see a Burmeister maybe getting some snaps against NC State. Now, Hooker had numbers last year. There's no reason Hooker would have lost a job. He took over after the loss to Duke, the bad loss, 45-10 loss to Duke in September. And Hooker, redshirt junior, 13 touchdowns, 2 interceptions, 1,552 yards. Both those interceptions were in the loss of Virginia at the end of the season, in which he threw for 311 yards. One of the interceptions was in the first half sort of heave. So just the one that was in the fourth quarter that eventually let Virginia – it was a Noah Taylor dropped back in coverage on 3rd and 18 and picked him off that led to the Virginia go-ahead score late in the game. But Hooker is a reason that Virginia Tech was in that game with a chance to play for the ACC Coastal Championship. That was his first loss as a starter, had led the Hokies on a great late season run. Burmeister, a 6'1", 205-pound redshirt junior, mentioned transferred from Oregon. And kind of like the situation with Keaton Thompson, Burmeister, sort of a victim of the numbers game in Oregon, he had been recruited under the Willie Taggart regime. Now, this is how funny college football is in this day and age. Willie Taggart left after 1 year at Oregon to go to Florida State. He's already out at Florida State. When Burmeister was there at Oregon, recruited to Oregon by Willie Taggart, he started a few games, didn't solidify himself as a starter, but certainly would have entered year two competing for that job. Then Mario Cristobal was hired to take over the job. And Burmeister only threw 10 passes in 4 games in mop-up duty in 2018. Kind of saw the writing on the wall and decided to transfer. And so he's at Virginia Tech now, and apparently brings, you know, some interesting athleticism. Certainly, Oregon doesn't recruit quarterbacks who can't throw the ball either. A third quarterback's in the mix at Virginia Tech. You might remember Quincy Patterson last year. He stepped in a very important role. Hooker went down to injury in the North Carolina game in October, and Patterson led the Hokies to a come-from-behind 43-41, 6 overtime win over North Carolina. And then he started at Notre Dame, and you might remember that. I mean, they lost the game, but he threw for 128 yards and a touchdown, added a 77 on the ground, and Virginia Tech led that one most of the day, lost 21-20. Ian Book scored a 7-yard touchdown run with 29 seconds left. Man, they were that close to upsetting Notre Dame. So Virginia Tech has 3 quarterbacks that can rely on, 3 quarterbacks who've started games at the FBS level, the Power 5 level. That's important depth for Virginia Tech, certainly, heading into the season, which for both schools won't open until September 26th. Looking around the college landscape real quick, as we're wrapping our show up here today, I was waiting to see if there's going to be any news in college football. There's been talk all weekend about the potential of the Big Ten voting today actually have a season that starts in October. Yeah, and sources, it still says no vote taken as Big Ten meets again. I'm just looking at a headline here. So I have no breaking news in that respect, but it does seem like from a lot of the things I'm reading that there's a sense that the Big Ten will vote maybe today, maybe tomorrow, maybe early this week. I guess early this week is over Wednesday because that's, if you look at a 7-day week. But it looks like October 17th is a target date, maybe 9 schools participating, which would lead to an 8-game schedule that could end in time to have a Big Ten champion that could participate in the college football playoffs. So something to keep up with. I'm also seeing a headline here, Air Force and Navy, a 2-game fall slate, I guess a home and home for those two schools. And so That's an interesting kind of thing there too. I'd love to see it. Schedules being filled out in that way. And so we'll follow these stories as the week goes on. On Wednesday, we'll have our regular NASCAR talk with Rod Mullins. Rod will review the race in Richmond this past Saturday night. Brad Keselowski gets the win, and solidifies one of three to solidify a playoff spot. In the next round of the playoffs, we'll go from 16 to 12 after Saturday night's race coming up at Bristol. And Rod will be on hand in Bristol for that one. So we'll give an in-depth preview to the goings on there. And then we'll talk on Friday. And I'm going to see if I can get Scott German to join me on the show as we're getting closer and closer to UVA's season opener. Get Scott on the show to get some of his thoughts, and maybe he'll ask me some good questions as well. And, of course, check out AugustaFreePress.com for, gosh, there's so much. We have a lot on our website today. We have some information on that Liberty opener with Western Kentucky. We have the ACC Football Players of the Week from week one. What else do we have here? Some news on the VHSL and a push from a big group of parents and student athletes to let them play in the fall. We have a story on that. You can click on that right now. We'll have a lot more coming up. I've got at least one more story from UVA's preseason, and as we're starting to turn our attention towards the actual gameplay, I'll jump in too. You know, with Duke, Virginia's first opponent coming up on the 26th. Duke has another game. They play Notre Dame on this past Saturday. They'll play Boston College home opener for the Blue Devils this coming Saturday at Wallace Wade Stadium. David Cutcliffe, I'll kind of pour through their game notes and his press conference, his video conference with the press this week, and we'll keep up with Duke since that's Virginia's first opponent. We'll also look into NC State, Virginia Tech's first opponent, just to kind of, you know, monitor things from afar as those schools play, and then they're getting ready to play our schools. So we'll have that on the website this week, and we'll see what else we jump into. And again, you know, future shows coming up, whether they're on YouTube or on Facebook, please feel free to jump in, ask me questions. Hey, and you can email me, you know, in between, because we have a NASCAR show coming up on Wednesday, another college football focused show coming up on Friday. In between now and then, if you want to throw out a question, you want something answered, you want something looked into, the email address is AugustaFreePress2@gmail.com. It's all over the Augusta Free Press website. You can't miss it. So I'd love to you know, get your comments there. You can throw some things here on this stream here. I'll find them. I get email alerts whenever something's posted on one of our videos. You can tweet me at AUG Free Press, our Facebook page. Send me a message there. I guess you could send something by carrier pigeon. Kind of know where I live, and I'm not making that public, but I do want to know what you want to know. So please engage with us, and we'll be glad to engage back. Thanks for your time today, everybody, for joining us here on the show, both on the live version and, of course, on the archive version on YouTube, also on our Podbean account. Thanks for joining us, and we will talk to you again soon.